I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. We're just going through this book, line by line. I'm going to be looking at verses 32 to 35, but I want to just make a comment or two of what we just read. You know, we're listening to the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, speak concerning being married, not being married. The situation of being married and realizing the trials that come with marriage. And the underlying point of all of this, it's not just instruction concerning marriage, the sufferings of being married, but it's to point to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who humbled himself, who made himself of no reputation, who took upon himself the form of sinful flesh, God Almighty. It came into this world, made sin for us. He who knew no sin. So when we talk about, when the Apostle Paul talks about the trials of marriage, it's not just, though we know that it's so. I mean, you got two sinners that are bound together in holy matrimony that love each other. But it's never been in the entirety of any marriage without trials within that marriage. But they love one another. So when Paul is speaking, realize that. He's speaking of the glory. You know the Lord Jesus Christ told the two on the road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses, all the scriptures. He expounded unto them those things concerning himself. But Paul is talking now in 1 Corinthians. He said in verse 29, he reminds believers to be aware of the frailty of this life. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Now, our days upon this earth are few. And they are full of trouble. Listen to the words. Now this was Jacob speaking to Pharaoh. When Joseph, he's been exalted to the second position, just under Pharaoh, and he goes and he sends back for his daddy, Jacob, and his brothers, their family. You remember that? And he brings them all to Egypt. There was corn in Egypt. He brings them all. Well, this is when Joseph introduces his daddy, Jacob, to Pharaoh. And it says in Genesis 47, 7 and 9, and Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the day of their pilgrimage. He said, I'm not as old as my ancestors. But the days of the years of my pilgrimage. This life is a pilgrimage. We're just traveling through. Just a little short lodging. And these days, the Scripture reveals are few. I mean, time flies. It's just amazing how quickly. And I know it's 24 hours in a day, there's 7 days in a week. Mitch, it's what you told me. Mitch told me that someone told him one time, he said, time gets faster as you get older. And Mitch said, I told them, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months in a year. But he said, you know what? They lied. They do get faster. That's right. They do. As a kid, man, summers were 3 years long. The shortness of these days, they're evil. There's afflictions. That's what it means. So, let us consider and remember this fact. The time is short. It remaineth, the Scripture says, verse 29, that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Married or unmarried, believers need to be reminded of the shortness of this life. This life is going to be over. And it's going to be over soon. Comparatively speaking, think about this. Think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of years that have gone before. We're reading about people that were really alive. And they've been gone hundreds and thousands of years. And this is just a blip right now in time. We just happen to be standing here right now. Our time is almost over. We're not going to be here very long. The Lord will soon return. I'm telling you, you go to sleep tonight, and you don't wake up till in the morning. That night, where did it go? All those hours? We that sleep in the Lord, how quickly do you think it'll be before the Lord comes back? It'll be right now. The state of being unmarried, I know this according to Paul's exhortation, relieves a believer from many of the trials, but it's short. Even without the trials of being married, it's short. I realized when the Apostle Paul, he was saying regarding the time being short, it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. The Apostle Paul never sets forth the disregarding of our spouse. You know that. When you say those that have wives be as though they have none, married or unmarried, their counsel, be in unity. Be united. And give yourself to the worship of Almighty God, doing all that they can for the glory of the Lord, the unity of this body, and not to be taken up with the fleeting pleasures and indulgences of this world. Because, listen, men, women, some of us are all married, some are not, but listen to me, the time is short. Fellas, you're not going to have your wife very long. Wives, your husband's not going to be here very long. Those that are married, be as though they had none, realizing this, the time is short. You know, if we stop and think about that a little bit more, it may kind of affect the way we, you know, respond to one another many times. And what is to be the attitude of married or unmarried? The time is short, that's what we said. Time is short. What is to be the attitude of married or unmarried? Listen to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Two believers who are married to each other, who've been warned and exhorted to consider, count the cost of marriage. You know, remember this. Now you listen. Marvin, listen to what you're about to say. The Lord is first. Who is first? The Lord or my wife? The Lord. Seek ye first. Two people in love, yes, but to the Lord. Their love to Him is first. Their obedience to Him is first. Their allegiance to Him is first. You seek first the kingdom of God. It's not that we treat our spouses with disregard. But when our priorities are right, and the Lord is first, our priorities are right between us and our spouse. You can write that down. It's right. We're in harmony with each other as we continually give ourselves unto Him. We're one in Him. So Paul says, you that have wives, be as though that you had none. The Lord is first. Look at verse 30. And they that weep, as though they wept not. And they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not. And they that buy, as though they possessed not. We're not advised or instructed, again, to act in an uncaring or an unsympathetic manner concerning those things of this world. So, you know, whether they be joyful or whether they be sorrowful, we're not insensitive to the things that come our way. I know that. But when the Lord sends times of sorrow and they enter our lives, strife, constantly seeking His grace to be kept from overpowering grief. Exhibit a moderate use of sorrow, not to be a hindrance to others. Listen to what he says. And they that weep, as though they wept not. Job was a man that the Scripture declares he was a righteous man. He shunned evil. And the Scripture says that one day, through the Lord's good pleasure, Almighty God allowed Satan to take all of his livestock, take all of his servants one day. He just patiently listened. Job 1. He patiently listened as these messengers came and told him. He said, this is what happened. The cattle were gone, and the Sabaeans killed the ones that was watching over them, and then this happened. And then the Scripture says, after all of those things, he lost his cattle, he lost his land, he lost his houses, he lost all that stuff. And then one of them came and said, all your kids are gone. All your children are dead. And when Job, listen to this, look at Job chapter 1, verse 20. I'll show you. Look at verse 19. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men, and they're dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Job heard that all of his children. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He wept as though he wept not. The Lord did this. You think he was hurting? Yeah, he was hurting. He rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down and worshiped God. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The Lord gave me those kids. They weren't mine. You know, that's a tough thing to consider. I think about my children. If God took all of them right now, that'd be hard to imagine. But I do know this, they're the Lord's. And He has the right. All souls are mine. They were loaned to me. Weep as though they wept not. Those who are blessed with this world's temporal possessions, remember, not even our children, our spouse is permanent. It's not going to last forever. Weep as though you wept not. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I told you this whenever I found out that I'd gone to the doctor. And the doctor told me, said, you have a malignant tumor in your bladder. I told Brother Scott about it. And he said, the worst part of it is when you first hear it. And he said, after that, it'd be okay. And you know he was right. I was talking to Betty Groover. She was asking me, she said, Marvin, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. I said, I wouldn't change anything. I said, learned more having to trust God, realizing something of the frailty of this life. Weeping, Scripture declares, is for just the night. But in the morning, it'll all be good. Scripture says, and they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not. It's not a crime to rejoice. I'm thankful. I'm thankful, as I've said before. I'm thankful for having something to eat. I'm thankful for having something to wear. I'm thankful I've got a house to go to and a car to drive in. I'm thankful for that. It's not a crime. But remember the fleetingness of that joy. Look, have you ever seen a beautiful, I mean just a gorgeous sunset? I mean, you're just out at the beach and the sun, I mean, everything is just right. And you look at that sunset and say, look at that. Look at this. Is that not the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life? It's gorgeous. Give it about 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, the colors are fading. And before you know it, it's gone. It's just, you know, they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. As if, you know, you were going to hold on to that possession forever. It's not going to be. We buy and we sell, we use, but I mean, it's not going to be something that's going to be with us forever. Just treat it as something that's temporal. Look at verse 31. And they that use this world, those that receive a loan is what that word use means. It's just a loan is all it is. Well, I've worked hard for this. I've pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Well, the Lord will take care of that pride. Don't worry. If you're His, He'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. You know, the Lord knows how to abase all of us. We get, all kind of, thinking we've really done something. Well, we'll see. We'll see. That they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. If married or unmarried, all of us that deal with the things of this world, let's seek the Lord's guidance and help, not to be absorbed with these things that are so enticing and alluring. There's some things that I really, really enjoy. I just enjoy the things of this world. But Lord, help me to remember, it's not going to stay here forever. Let me remember the temptations of these fleeting things is always there, but it's dangerous. I begin to look at these things and they become so important. Seek ye first. These things could be added unto you. You know those things that choked out the word when the sower went forth to sow, and some fell by the wayside, some fell among rocky soil, some of them fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up, the cares of this world choked out the word. You know, remember, it's easy to justify looking, seeing these things that are so enticing. I think I can handle that. I think, be careful, you know. Verse 32 to 34. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now here, the apostle's desire was to have the believers at Corinth, and obviously all of us that are hearing God's word tonight, to be taught that we are to be striving to be free from the anxiety and the distressing cares of this world. Apostle Paul longed to teach us to be watchful, to watch, to not become entangled, actually, physically, emotionally, or materially, with these things. His advice to God's people was this. He said, the unmarried believer is more free and can more conveniently care for the things that have to do for God's glory. He doesn't have the cares of this world so enticing him, so stressing after him. The man or the woman who can exempt themselves from the state of marriage, that's wonderful, if you can. But the Apostle Paul, we done considered last time, but if you can't, he said, be married. But the Apostle said, he that is unmarried, now you listen, careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He having no wife or husband or family is therefore free, now you listen, to give himself totally to the service of his Maker, just like the married does. Married or unmarried, we are not to be considering the state of marriage or unmarriage to be good or bad, one or the other. But we're to realize that those that are unmarried, the Apostle Paul says, are loosed from many of the trials, but the responsibility of those that are unmarried is great. Listen to it. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Verse 33, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. I'm sorry, verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. The apostle continues his instruction, saying the married man, the married woman, careth for worldly matters, how he may please his wife. Not that he's insensitive to the Lord. Not that the married believer is being set forth as being uncaring or insensitive to the things of God. But Paul is declaring that the married have their lot in this life completely faithful to the Lord, even as the married and unmarried. But the married also have the responsibility of bearing the things of a home. We joyfully seek to please the Savior, walking after Him, while we joyfully seek to please our mate. Do so for the glory of God, though, the honor of the Lord, the praise of Him who is worthy, the one who will bless the faithfulness of Him with a settled and peaceful and God-honoring marriage. Again, seek the Lord first. And just the Scripture says that there's a difference between the married and the unmarried man, a difference concerning their responsibilities toward God while living a life of celibacy or a state of matrimony. The difference in their walk is no difference in the walk of an unmarried person. Look at verse 34. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit, but she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. In the light, that same light that the man has to provide for his wife, you take a man that is married. Marriage is honorable. I've said before, you consider this, the Lord Jesus Christ is married. He has a wife. And the responsibilities that He gladly bore coming into this world for her, that ought to be an example to all of us. But in the same light that the man has to provide for his wife and children, be the head of the house, the spiritual leader of the household, a woman, married or unmarried, has responsibilities too. A wife's lot. I've said this before. I've seen the responsibilities of a wife. And it's just more than I think I'd want. I mean, that is a tremendous, tremendous job. Being a housewife. I said before, I've heard people say, you know, well, I'm just a housewife. I said, oh, what a calling. A wife's lot is found often to be more carefully involved concerning the things pertaining to the daily affairs of the family, the responsibility of the home, the ordering of these things, the bearing and raising of children. I thank God for mothers, for wives that the Lord has given and blessed. You women that have had children, that have raised children, you think of the responsibility of that raising children. Would you change anything though? I mean, would you go back? Having a loving husband or a loving wife and the trials of that, you know, having to have a home and provide for, and would you change it though? For the love that you have one for another? Look at verse 35 in closing. Paul says, "This I speak for your own profit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." Paul, he set forth the benefits and the responsibilities of being married and unmarried. The Spirit of God was pleased to deal with this subject in such a complete and thorough manner. I mean, we've gone over some of these. It's like Paul is saying the same thing over and over and over and over. You know why? Because we need to hear it over and over and over and over. Is it right to be married? Yes. Is it right to be unmarried? Yes. What you might do, the Lord will direct you. Whatever God Almighty has ordained. But Paul is saying here, he said, "I'm telling you these things for your profit and for your welfare. Not to put any unnecessary restraint upon you, but to promote that which is honorable. To tell you this that you might be directed into that state which is best for you. That you may attend to the things of the Lord without distraction." I mean, there's distractions. I have a responsibility of preparing three messages a week. Three messages a week. You men that have prepared a message. That's a calling, isn't it, Neil? Carl, done that. Fred? Three messages a week. I have a wife. I have a home to attend to. I have children, and I have grandchildren. Now, are there any distractions concerning that? Yes. What is my first responsibility? A pastor. Number one. Almighty God has called me to seek first His kingdom. That's my calling. Paul is saying, you that are married, you that are unmarried, you that are contemplating marriage, he said marriage comes with trials. Unmarried, you give yourself totally to the Lord. You don't have the distractions. God directs you. Paul says, I am not telling you things to put any undue burden on you, to be a confusion to you. He didn't imply that marriage was unlawful or considered any way undesirable. He wasn't setting forth that single life was a more chaste way of living, or that it was incumbent upon believers to seek that life only under no circumstances. He said, I mean to lay before you no thoughts or considerations that the Lord has not laid upon you. I'm not here to bind you with a rule that the Lord hasn't made. He sets forth both states, married, unmarried, and leaves the believer to the leadership of God's Spirit concerning these matters, telling them these things, he said, for your good, for your own good, for your instruction. He said, I'm not saying to place this obligation. I'm not dictating rules to entangle you or to ensnare you. For those of us who are married, may we be found diligently seeking the Lord for guidance, seeking the Lord for direction. I mean, these days are few, and they're full of evil. I know that. I would long that the Lord would direct all of us, wherever we are. If you're married, if you're unmarried, if you're widowed, wherever you are, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all of these things will be added unto you. The time is short. It's going to be over. If this was the last night that you knew you had on this earth, would it make a difference in the way you thought or looked at things or considered your mate or your spouse or your children or this congregation? Would it make any difference? I think it would. I pray God bless this word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. All right.